great to have Brent Harvey with us, the AFL Games record holder from the North Melbourne Football Club. And from what we saw last Friday, really conscious of all the cameras around the grounds. Boomer, good morning to you.
What's all that about? I've got idea what you're talking about.
You're a social media sensation.
Mate,
because, phenomenon.
Because you did push-ups before getting the running.
For keeping oil. Fit. So I've been in here for about 4 minutes in studio, and I've been doing push-ups before I run
no
out.
No doubt.
I've had oil put
no
on
doubt.
Me.
Which is disgusting.
Yeah. You've got a top that's two sizes too small for you.
I will give you one tip. The new running tops are very tight, and I have ordered a medium.
Rubbish.
People think it's an extra
medium.
Small. It's
an
extra small.
You've gone from kid size to medium.
Size 14 kids
you
to a medium.
Joey's clothes, so.
It's an extra small. You're disgusting.
No, that is a lie. I don't know what to say, to be honest with you, Daniel, because you're just embarrassing now.
Well, don't be embarrassed, because you've got the best pipes in the business.
Pipes Harvey.
Well, Pipes Harvey is what we're going to call you from now on. You're not Boomer, you're Pipes. That's who you're going to be. I've never known a runner to use oil, though. I mean, that's over the top as far as
Marty, back give me something. Come on.
No, well, I will. I'm keen to talk about last night's game, but the goal kicking.
Yes.
Losing to Jono.
I know. No.
Now, we spoke to Jono about this yesterday. He actually felt sorry for you.
Yeah, so did I.
But you're meant to be happy when you raise money for children, particularly for the Royal Children's Hospital.
Well, five shots, $5,000 a kick, I think it was, $25,000. I kicked one, so I was disappointed because I was lost $20,000.
But was that
kids.
Meant to be a joyous occasion?
Oh, I know.
And you're devastated when Jono's getting interviewed.
Was there some concern about that at selection table last night at North Heidelberg because your kicking's off?
Jason Heatley, the senior coach, did say
who
that you might be down back.
Greatest shots for goal in the history of the
world. Yeah, absolutely is. He said that you might be starting down back this week and you would not be having shots on goal. Pass to your brother, he said to me.
Well, that's always a good idea. He doesn't miss too many.
Imagine Jason Heatley in the way the game's being played now, he'd probably get a game.
His shoulders are no good at the minute, he said.
Would he get a go for the Kangas though, Boomer?
Who, Heatley?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he would, Daniel. I don't think we need to go down that track, do we?
Being nasty.
We had a bad week last week. We've had a couple of bad weeks, but we'll bounce back. We're a young, inexperienced team that who we got this week? Adelaide. It'll be a great test for us. We'll see how we go in Melbourne at Marvel.
There's an opportunity if you can bounce back. Because it's about competitiveness, I imagine.
Yes, of course
David
it is.
Noble, and that didn't happen too much last week, which was disappointing, particularly in the second half of the game. Watching it up close, could you feel it just slipping and going, oh my God, we just cannot do anything about this? They're just not quite up to it at this stage?
Yeah, there was a pivotal moment in the game. If Nick Larkey actually, I think he kicked the goal and they brought it back and shaved the post or whatever it did. He kicks that. We're 5 points down with 3 or 4 minutes to go at the at quarter time.
Yep.
And after that, after the quarter time, I think they took the ball full length of the ground, kicked the goal, and ended up being, I don't know, maybe 12 or 14 points or something at quarter time. After that, it did slip away, and then it did get a little bit concerning. They were competitive in areas, but non-competitive in other areas. And the coach is not happy with that. The players are certainly not happy with that. And we get another chance this week. That's the beauty about football. We get another chance this week to bounce back and show our fans that we are competitive. Last week was embarrassing for certain players. And they'll put their hand up and have a massive crack this week.
Were there forensic reviews and aggressive reviews on the back of that embarrassment?
Yeah, there was reviews. Not sure how deep they went into reviewing the game. It's hard to review games where you get beaten by 128 points.
So if you're talking about some players.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely. Yeah. They would have went to their line coaches. And in fact, they do go to their line coaches every single week and they would have seen some stuff that they didn't like. And most players will be put on notice. Yep. Like if any team loses by 128 points, you're going to get put on notice. So it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back this week. We bounce back this week.
Just on the golf, before we get on to last night's game, you can give us a call, 1-300-652-927. A few Essendon fans were needing some counselling earlier this morning.
Which I was okay with.
Justin Rose leads at 6-under.
Six!
With a couple of holes to play. So importantly for Justin, not only is he 6-under, but he'll get out early tomorrow morning. So that's a significant statement made by Justin Rose, who has... does have a very good record at the Masters. Matsuyama and someone else who just got off the screen. Is it 3-under? I think it's Brian Harman, I think.
It is Brian Harman.
Yeah, and then a few at 2-under, a few at 1-under, and unfortunately Mark Leishman, who was leading at 4-under there early in his round, is at even par with one hole to play. Patrick Reed and Webb Simpson, two of the players at 2-under. Last night, for those that missed the end of the game and fell asleep, which a couple did on the couch that I know, the Bombers fell short, agonisingly short. Sydney winning, making it 4 from 4. Essendon 1 from 4. What were your thoughts on the game?
My thoughts on the game was I thought it was a great game. The intensity and everything was there early. I think Essendon got out to 25 yep. points up, and yep. I thought, wow, this is big. And I've been really impressed with Sydney, and you know, I think everybody has, because they've been so defensive for so long. You add Don Pike to their coaching panel, who's got an offensive mindset, and all of a sudden they're kicking massive scores and taking the ball full length of the ground with fantastic ball movement. So they might have been a bit stifled last night on the smaller SCG compared to what we've seen last week at the MCG. So we've always used that as an advantage for Sydney. Could it be a disadvantage now playing on that smaller ground?
Well, I think it's a good point, Boomer. But Sydney's record at home hasn't been flash for quite a while.
Yeah.
But I think as this sort of team evolves, even might even more be the case.
They're run and carry now. You look at the contrast between last week against Richmond at the MCG to this week against Essendon at the SCG. Now, Essendon tackled their hearts out last night. But looking at Sydney and the way they were moving the ball last week against the best team in the competition was completely different to last night.
I've asked this question to all of you about Sydney the last couple of weeks, and I'll ask it again. Is it real? Is this sustainable for Sydney now, 4-0 with the Giants and the Suns to come? Or is it still, are you still a little unsure?
No, I think it's real. I think it's real. I think they're going to have some sort of peak, and because they're so young now as well. I mean, the first three kids have been NAB Rising, or was it still NAB Rising Star?
Yep.
The Rising Star Award. He's been Sydney, Sydney, and Sydney. So they've got abundance of these young kids. We know what happens sometimes throughout the season of young kids. It does fluctuate a little bit. So we might see a little bit of inconsistency, but you couple that with Parker and Kennedy and these type of guys who are fantastic leaders and have been for a long time, maybe they grab these kids and they don't have the fluctuation that we've seen in past of young teams. So I think it's real. I think it's real. I love the fact that I know John Longmire's been a defensive type of coach. I love Don Pike's adding to this football team, because again, notoriously, he's been that offensive coach. He's adding something that they've never had for a long time, and it looks like they're playing with so much more freedom. The ball movement last week against Richmond in particular was unbelievable. Again, stifled a little bit last night due to Essendon's pressure, maybe, and maybe the small ground, but Whitey, I think it's absolute real.
Real?
As a preview to Monday and the changing of our top eight, Sydney will be coming into my top eight.
Oh, there we go. Yep.
Agree.
There we go. They'll make the finals, so that's
right.
That's,
okay.
So that's real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm backing them in to get off to a good start and be able to get enough wins to get to the finals.
Historically, teams that kick, and there's quite a few examples of it, that they go 4-0, 5-0 unexpectedly, and they will have that down part through the middle part of the year. But because they've banked so many wins, as you were saying before, Rama, they now really only need to win 8. 6 of their last 16 to be a chance.
Yeah, and they get the home games. I mean, it's always hard to go into state, so they're going to pinch a couple of, like the last night, if that was at Marvel, might have went the other way. But because it's at home, they just pinch that one or two extra ones, and there's their wins. And I totally agree. They make the finals.
Your conversation about being stifled, it's interesting just going through some of the numbers from last night and watching Essendon shut down that short kicking game. Last week against Richmond, they had 117 uncontested marks.
Yep.
Last night, on a smaller venue albeit, but clearly with some homework being done by their opposition, they had 72. So that's 45 less. That's a lot. That's a lot. Well, so they tried to take something away from Sydney last night.
And they did clog the corridor. Yep. Sydney did have to go wide, which is not what they wanted to do in the previous three games. So I think Essendon had a pretty good night in the coaches' box.
Ideally, you want to keep a team to 20 marks a quarter, so 80 marks for the game. So that then allows you to apply that pressure, which Essendon were able to do last night. Nearly got over the line, but did it.
Now, there have been a lot of disappointed Essendon fans this morning, Boomer, that have given us a call. 1-300-652-927.
You have to say it with a soft voice. Counseling session.
That's right. Well, we've got to be careful, because there were a few that are a little bit sort of, you know, down in the dumps.
Well, we know that. That's why we're counseling with our soft voice on.
I was quite optimistic about what I saw. What did you see from an Essendon perspective? Not just for now, but maybe also for the future.
I totally agree, and it's something I've actually written down to speak about. You lose Saad and Danaher, huge, right, out of any team. That's just like taking, what are we talking about? I don't know.
Lloyd and Franklin
out of any team, right? Then you've got last night Ambrose, Caldwell, who I rate really, really highly. Draper, Hurley, Redmond, Scheel. You add them to the Essendon lineup. That makes a massive difference. And I agree with Rama that the pressure that they brought last night, they got coached really well. 25 points up, you're unlucky to not win it in the end. So I think the future's really bright. Some of those young kids, I didn't even know their names last night, were were exceptional. I think they've got Nick Cox. He's going to be a star of the competition. Not a good player. He's going to be an absolute star of the competition. You don't want to hang your hat on one player, but he's going to be around for a long, long time, and he's going to play in multiple positions.
I thought it was interesting last night, Roma, that Nick Cox, in his fourth game as a supposed wingman, pretty much rucked most of the second half of the last quarter with a game in the balance and wasn't too bad.
And was getting in defence and was running forward.
I didn't like seeing him. You don't like it? I didn't like seeing him in the ruck.
Oh, no, Ben Rutten's on notice.
No. Just look, he's 200 centimetres, I get that. But what is he, 85 kilo maybe? And going against Tom Hickey, obviously an experienced ruckman, I don't know if a fourth gamer needs to be in the ruck. I get the situation of the game and all that sort of stuff, but I would have hated to have seen Nick get injured through a collision or something happening in the ruck. Like, you see him in the end of the first quarter, was it, when he kicked that running goal on his left foot from 45 metres out?
Has got one of the greatest opposites I've ever seen in a young boy.
He's a Leon Cameron type.
Oh,
very nice.
So good on both sides.
But I just think you've got that type of player. Now, like I said, I understand the situation of the game, but...
So who was Essendon's ruckman? Who was
Peter Wright. Peter
and Wright. How was Peter Wright going last night?
I don't know where he was in the late part of the game. Might have been on the bench.
So if you, but as a coach, Rama, and I know you're worried about a young kid going
to
the
ruck. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
They're in the game to win it. You've got to do something, don't you?
40 games into his career, no dramas, because he's got a bit more weight on his body and can handle the knocks and the bumps. But 4 games in...
He looked a little bit hesitant in the ruck, not scared by any stretch of imagination, but that contact, I think he was doing the old fake Peter Fakos jump, and then
Peter Fakos,
right, for the old Peter Fakos jump, and try to read him as a ruck rover rather than a ruckman. So I actually like his little ploy.
That's a new football word.
Peter Fakos. I've never heard that. That's good. 22 hitouts for Peter Wright last night in his battle with Tom Hickey. Sam Reed got involved a little bit as well. Nick Cox, as you said. Tom Hickey was 27 hitouts. Now, Peter Wright's not a natural ruckman. Well, he's being forced to fill a hole at the moment.
Exactly right.
He's a pincher. He's not the number one man.
Well, they've got another young ruckman at the club, Nick Bryan. Now, he's going to be a good player, but there's no weight on his body yet. So.
And Phillips is
injured.
Yeah.
Bad luck, Bombers. Not to be.
Yeah, very close. I thought they put up a great show.
It was a great fight.
You say that with great sympathy.
It was a good performance. I had little expectation for the Bombers, so I was impressed, I must admit. We're different to some of our callers earlier this morning who are thinking about just throwing the membership in the microwave.
Well, they've actually been in games, though, haven't they? Who did they play last week? St Kilda. And they were
Port Adelaide before that.
Port Adelaide.
But Hawthorn. They'll up by 40 points as well. So they've been in games.
They could be 3-1.
They could be 3-1, absolutely. Yeah, but they're not, Rama. They're 1-3.
What are they?
They're 1-3.
Well done, Pipes. North Melbourne one side, Hawthorn the other side.
How do you win?
1-300-652-927. The Swans are a real deal. We'll throw it out there for our listeners. 3 rising stars already. 4-0 start to the season for the first time since 2012, which was a premiership year, if you don't mind. Let's have a listen to the coaches from last night. Ben Rutten, who is under great pressure after Adam Romanescu put him on notice.
he
was talking after the game. Let's have a listen to Rutz.
Proud of the group is certainly the way I'm feeling. I'm certainly disappointed, and the players are shattered about the result. We're certainly here to win, and disappointed about that. But the character, the grit, the determination the guys showed right to the last second. On a short break, travel, all those things are character building for our group. But disappointed on the result, I think.
So that's Ben Rutten. I did see some footage on Fox Footy last night post-game where they were into the rooms of the Bombers, and Dyson Heppel
was
speaking in front of the group. He was commanding the room. There was people in suits as well, so some of the board members maybe and some of the high-profile supporters of the Bombers who were in the rooms last night. He was quite animated and quite body language was very strong. I don't know clearly what was said, but he looked like he was less than happy with what the outcome had been for that game. And maybe there were some incidents late in the game or things that they didn't do, Rama, that didn't sit comfortably with the skipper, and he let him know last night.
Well, that's strong leadership.
Which is good. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I think it's needed.
And for those that have already called in this morning who are Essendon fans, I think, as I was saying before, this is the sort of stuff fans want to see.
Yep.
And I think fans demand of this football team, and that is that discipline, competitiveness, consistency, resilience, and strong leadership from not only the coach but from the captain to say that, you know, okay, it's competitive performance, but these are the things, if we had done them better in the final 5 minutes, we might have a different result.
I think
they'd be comfortable with getting close.
I think Dyson in the past has been criticised for not being strong enough. So I really, really like that. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall and to hear what he said, but his eyes, they were firmly fixed on him, all players.
I'd like Essendon to share, to a point, the tone of that, because
I don't think they will.
No, I'm not saying they will, but I would be interested to know what was said.
Of course you would. Yeah, I think everybody would be interested to know what he said.
In
but
sanctum,
those, that those sort of things were why he need to stay within the football club. There's board members, I think you said, were in there.
Some suits, definitely suits.
Stuff like that. And
so I'll probably get leaked then.
You'll hear about it tomorrow.
Bad luck to the Bombers. That's a real shame. John Longmire is the coach of the Swans. He was victorious. Let's have a listen to the winner after the game last night.
Look, I think first and... you know, they had 36 tackles in the last quarter. Their pressure rating in that last quarter was through the roof. You know, to their credit, they were pretty good. You know, we certainly didn't kick very straight, which hurt us a little bit on the scoreboard. But, you know, when a team comes in and has 36 tackles in the last quarter, you've got to do a lot right to win when it was so close at three-quarter time. So to withstand that and be able to do the things that we needed to do, whether it was run or whatever, and find a way, was a really good sign.
John Longmire there, the coach of the Sydney Swans. Big Bud kicked three to bring up 950 career total goals. Let's have a listen to the Bud. I think he's got some access to him after the game as well.
They played some pretty good football this year. We knew they were going to come out and have a good crack. And they certainly really stepped it up tonight. But grinding games out is really good. I think it's really... thing. We've got such a young team, but to find a way through that and then win, it's a good sign. It's always good winning. It's obviously been we've struggled the last 2 years, but no doubt we've blooded a lot of young kids, and I think it's so exciting, obviously being one of the older boys of the footy club now. It's always good to see young kids come in and bring that excitement, and I'm loving it out here. That was always the plan. It was play one, miss one, and then away we go from now, which will be good.
Away we go indeed, the Big Bud. They have very loud music in the background there, and they need a microphone closer to the Big Bud after the game.
Social distancing. Have you seen that with the social distancing where the Channel 7, they have the microphone on the crane, and then the interview happens, and they shake hands and sort of pat on the back, give a bit of a hug, and then walk away?
It's fantastic. Makes perfect.
All for the camera.
Franklin talks about those young kids, McInerney, Warner, Dawson, Florent, Wicks, Goulden, Campbell, McDonald, Blakey, Bell. They're good names. They're good names.
They're good players.
So, there's a bit of a story about McInerney. He is an amazing story because in his year 12 year at Marsland College in the AGS, he couldn't get a game in their first 18 team. Yeah. And he only got a game late in the year because of injuries to others. Roll the clock forward a couple of years, and he looks like a bona fide 200-game midfielder.
Good player, good person, of course. Where's he from, Daniel?
Oh, the mighty Northern Knights, the factory
another
down
one.
There. Another
one
from the factory. Another one, Rammer. Sick of your players not producing any players.
Just on Buddy, it's going to be interesting now to see how they use him going forward, whether he travels to the long travel to Perth, etc., whether he backs up, plays two in a row, three in a row.
He's got 9 day, then 3 7 days, so they reckon he'll play the next month.
Yeah. It'll be sort of four on one off.
Yeah.
I think moving forward now.
That's about right.
Play a month, have a week off.
And the thing with him is he looks like he's dropped a lot of weight.
He looks really fit.
Moving extremely well. He's still a power athlete, but the way he was jumping into packs, the way he was able to be part of the contest when it mattered most, would have to give
Franklin
him a lot of confidence.
Will be so important for Logan McDonald. Just
Correct.
Takes
Agreed.
The pressure off him. Just a couple of years, we all know and think McDonald's going to be a really good key forward in the competition, but the ball doesn't need to go to him all the time, and then he gets smacked in the back of the head. When a young key forward gets smacked around a lot, it sucks the confidence out of him a lot.
Well, if Buddy wasn't there, the number one defender probably goes to
him, and it's Sam Reed is
so,
the other.
So there you go. So then he doesn't get the experience of watching Buddy number one, but getting the second best defender and actually being able to work a little bit harder. That's similar to what happened, unfortunately, to North Melbourne at the minute with Nick Larkey taking the number one defender. Mm. If we still had a Ben Brown type of player, that Larkey would probably blossom into a better player quicker. Yep. But now he's got to take the brunt of being the number one forward. And the ball hasn't been coming in. I know we're not about the Kangas, but the ball hasn't been coming in great to Larky, so we can use that a bit of an excuse. But that's what I'm sort of trying to get at.
Justin Rose has made another birdie.
He's 7 under.
To go to 7 under. And I think he's 5 under for the back nine with one to play.
I'll say it right here, right now. Unlosable situation. He can't lose it.
Well, clearly he can because it's Justin Rose.
There's been some incidents on Monday.
No, he can't lose it.
In here.
He'll win. Just get on.
Well, I will.
A bit of vomit all over his there's been a lot of incidents on Monday morning in here.
Well, historically, when you start well at the Masters, it's one of those courses that you tend to stay near the top.
Exactly right.
Have a look at that big puddle in front of him. I would go straight in there.
Yeah, that's on 16 for... who was that? Was that Bryson? No.
No.
Somebody else. Justin 7-under through 17. That's a big result. He's four, leads by four. That's the thing.
Mm.
Four's not easy to make up. Although Sunday...
No, but that course, guys that start well, they're there on Sunday.
I'm telling you, he can't lose. The jacket will be his on Monday morning when we... well, we'll be there watching it as it happens next Monday morning after the weekend's golfing activity. Off the SMS, is the famous form ladder making a return in 2021?
Oh,
well, of course it is. Well, the fans want it, and it's an investment tool is what it is, and that's what it's been for the last couple of years. But we don't do it before we get a sample size of 4 weeks. So it's at the end of the weekend, there will be a form ladder.
My opinion on the form ladder is if the people want it, we then need to let the people see it.
No, it's my
opinion. It's like KFC.
Secret Herbs and Spices.
Herbs and Spices.
Spot on, Whitey.
Well, that's not good enough.
No, I think it is.
Well, you spruik this form ladder.
We don't need to know hows and whys. It's just about what
people do. Clearly they do if they're texting in about this.
They need to know the outcomes. That's all they need to know.
Oh,
No formulas.
Don't be
starting. He just makes it up on the run. That's the form ladder.
Don't be starting on that, mate. It's a system where no one needs to know, except for me. But it'll be back after next week. Now, it's only really valuable to us as an investment tool in the back half of the season. But after 4 weeks, we have a sample size, so we'll get it done for you next week. Promise. It's going as well as the spreadsheet, the early mail spreadsheet. what else? The injury to Isaac Heaney, Boomer, I want to ask you about that and the impact that might have on the Swans. Broken hand to be out for, what is it, six-ish?
Well, Boomer will know because he broke his hand whacking a couple of blokes. So he'll know exactly how many
Mark
weeks.
Johnson headbutted my fist. I'm telling you, in 99, he headbutted my fist. And now I
did
break
my hand.
How many
weeks
did you miss? I actually only missed a couple of weeks. It was pretty late in the season. It was, I reckon I missed two, but I went and had the operation and got a plate put in and then just wore a little cast over the plate with a glove on. You can come back from hands because they heal. If you get them done well, you can come back pretty quickly because you do need them, clearly. But what I'm trying to get at, the surgeons do it properly with a plate and everything like that, and you can come back pretty quickly. But it's so early in the season, you probably don't want to risk it.
Tommy Fleetwood's made an ace on 16, which is great work for Tommy, even though he's well over par at the moment. So the Heaney factor for Sydney, I mean, he's one of their stars.
Yep.
Like you talk about the kids and how good they've been. That's fine. But they are still kids and they're still emerging. Heaney's one of their stars.
He's the X factor, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's the X factor that can do a little bit of everything. We've seen him go back behind the ball, take marks. We've seen him kick bags of goals. We've seen him sit on people's heads. He does it at ground level. He does it in the air. He's a hard matchup. I could imagine every single team that goes in against the Swans would be going, right, who do we put on Heaney to negate him today? So he's an important matchup. He's going to be a big loss for Sydney. Hopefully it's not the 6 weeks. Hopefully
they're
he can
saying
come
3
back.
To 4.
Yeah, hopefully he can come back a little bit early. If he gets the op and gets everything done properly, it would be a 3 to 4 week injury without rushing him back. And if it was finals 2 weeks, Heaney would play.
Yeah.
He would play.
Great to have Pipes Harvey with us, the AFL Games record holder. After Thursday night footy, we'll go through Friday night after Johnny Bowden gives us the latest and some of the other key games in round 4 of the AFL. This is the Friday footy preview, the Friday face-off. Not too far away either if you haven't registered.
And I'm going to be really good, really good. I'm going to tell you the category already.
What is it?
Goals.
Oh, goals.
Sausage rolls.
I like the change-up. I'm happy with that. Goals for tonight for Port Adelaide Richmond. Okay, gives us time to get our head around it.
I'll have that as a good category.
He's a good category.
Going well, Rammer. He's 12 points after 3 rounds. He's untouchable.
He's the Matt Rowell of the Friday face-off. Started perfectly.
So he's going to get injured very soon.
He's ready to play footy. Played a lot of senior footy last year. We know that. And as a club, we've been waiting for him probably for the moment. He had a little hamstring, so we're putting back a little bit. But, he's... is aggressive and ready to play. He's just, he's one of them mature young people who are just right to go out and play men's footy. Yeah, he's a big boy. Yeah, he's a big boy. He's aggressive with it. He's explosive. He's got a lot of things that you'd suggest would make him successful at AFL football. Now he gets his first test to actually see how he goes against, what a game for to debut in against the reigning premiers.
That's a good opportunity, absolutely. That's the voice of Ken Hinckley, the coach of the Port Adelaide Football Club. Pipes Harvey's with us on the Friday footy preview. The Friday night game is Port Adelaide and Richmond, and there will be a debutant for the Power. There'll be two for the Tigers. Lockie Jones, who you heard Kenny talking about there, is making his debut. Bergman and Laddams are omitted at this stage. And for the Tigers, Hawley, Ross, Ryan Mansell, Nigel's boy, and Will Martin, Mick's boy, will be debuting as well. Martin and Mansell playing their first games for the Tigers. Rioli, Igmalisi, Smith, Prestia, Caddy, and McIntosh all out for the Tigers. Rama, firstly, tell me about Lockie Jones.
Yeah, well, it's exactly what Kenny Hinckley said. He is a big boy. He's strong, like not tall. He's 188, so he's sort of that average height, but body-wise, he's well-developed.
Why'd you look at Boomer when you said average height, 188?
Mm. Well, Boomer's not average height.
I actually think I'm still growing, right, in terms of height.
I was going to say, you shrunk. I was actually thinking you shrunk. But big body. So he does like the bash and crash style of thing, style of game. So they were really, really happy to get him where they got him. They thought somebody was going to bid earlier on Lockie Jones, so yep. Port Adelaide were quite happy where they got him and what they had to, or points-wise, what they had to pay for him. So, yeah, it's another one for the Power, I think. I think he's going to be a very good player, this young man.
And Martin and Mansell. Martin was the Brisbane Academy boy, wasn't he? I think he was pretty the captain of the Brisbane Academy team, and they've had to bid for him to get a game.
So there was a draft where Richmond bid on a couple of those Brisbane Academy guys. So here's another one. So they do spend a lot of time. Look, you look at the academies, you look at Gordon and Campbell, what they're doing at Sydney at the moment. Like, if these academies get these kids in at 12 and 13 years old, which they do, and they realise they've got a good player on their hands, they can then mould them into...
Well, John Longmire spoke about that when we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, talking about Errol Goulden, saying, well, I've known him since he was 10 and 11. Yeah. So I've sort of known exactly what you said. He's been moulded in to be the Sydney player, do the Sydney things, do it the Sydney way, since a young teenager.
So there's no teething problems a lot of the time with the academy boys because they've been in that
know the system. Culture. They probably know the culture. Have been down the rooms a few times after games. It's great.
So Will's come from Brisbane as part of that. And then Ryan Mansell's a great story. Come from Woodville, West Torrens. He's one of those supplementary selection period players. They just added on late in the season.
I love this rule.
Played in three flags in Tassie. He's from Tassie originally with North Launceston, I think. And come from Woodville, West Torrens, and the Sandford to all of a sudden break into this Richmond team, which we haven't seen in the last 4 years in their successful period. It's been very difficult to get new players, young players into this team. So there's a bit, I don't know if it's a change in philosophy at the Tigers or just these kids are saying we're ready and they get almost forcing them to pick them, Ram. It's a different setting for the Tigers, I reckon, at the moment.
I'm just interested what Richmond did at selection on the back of last week's game. So they were soundly beaten by Sydney last week. So you look at McIntosh concussed, obviously, Prestia hamstring, but Caddy and Rioli, they've both been dropped. So Caddy was playing on a wing, Rioli's playing on that sort of half-forward flank. He doesn't muck around him. When he sees something that he doesn't like, he knocks it on the head straight away. So with those two guys, clearly he hasn't seen something that he likes with the way they've been going about it. And he's just moved on at selection. The interesting part with tonight's game is what other clubs learnt last week by the way Sydney played. Now, Sydney, as we spoke about, had 120-odd marks last week against Richmond and owned the ball. But it wasn't necessarily marked. When you think of marks, a lot of people think of marks behind centre. So you're chipping the ball around in your back half of the ground. But it was the marks in the forward half of the ground which were so much more telling against Richmond's defence. Richmond plays zone defence, as we all know. But Sydney picked them apart with these short little passes, lowering the eyes at sort of that 70-metre range. Yep. And then that forced Richmond's defenders up. And then Sydney's forwards were good enough then to find the holes to lead into. So I just wonder if Sydney may have found a little blueprint there to tackle Richmond.
Well, what Richmond want, they get the number, they get a spare behind plus the one. Ball. Yep. And teams launch from outside the, I call it the connection zone, that probably 50 to 70. And Sydney did exactly that, 124 marks last week. But they weren't the uncontested type of marks, like you said. It was the hit up that's through that connection zone. And then they did it again. Then they get shots on goal. I think that's the way you've got to play Richmond. You've got to make the defenders defend, and you can't give them the spare. And that's the blueprint that a lot of teams are going to use now. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Richmond handle that sort of...
I think tonight's a really important night for Richmond, because with Port Adelaide liking to put speed on the game, and so Richmond can't set up as they like to behind the ball, if it is that Port Adelaide do what they did to Richmond back in the middle part of last year, and not so much the final, because obviously Richmond won the final, but there were times where Richmond were vulnerable to quick ball movement. Remember that night was a bit wet though, so it sort of took away Port Adelaide's strength. I think the question will be, does Richmond's system, is it under threat because of the rule changes? Because they can't set up as quickly as they'd like, and that sort of forward handball off the mark or getting off the mark quickly, cribbing some territory, whether that's starting to have a bit of an issue as to what the way Richmond like to play. I think we'll know that a lot more tonight with the way Port plays.
47 inside 50s last week for Richmond, which is really low for them as well. So that's the ball control that Sydney had on them, though. They stifled their play.
What Richmond love to do is they love to force you into error.
Yep.
Through and their then, pressure. So they press up. But they're you talk about pressing up, but their defenders always press back. They always hold. So a lot of the times you'll see at a stoppage with Richmond, they just want to break even at a stoppage, because they usually launch from their half back line with Loston, with Hawley. Now Hawley's back. I don't know if Loston's not there yet. Short, Baker, those type of guys. But if you own the ball against Richmond, and you're particularly in the front half of the ground, you suck the defenders up. So then you're forcing Richmond to play one-on-one, which they don't do very often as defenders.
That's right.
And that was really noticeable last week. Sydney forced them up. So that little short kick in the launch zone, as you talk about, Boomer, and then it's one-on-one inside forward 50, and the Sydney forwards were too good for them last week.
And the reason why Richmond are happy to break even at the contest is because most oppositions will send up a forward into the stoppage. So they're one down at the stoppage because they've taken the extra behind the ball. So if they can break even at that stoppage, that's a win for them because they're already one down. But as soon as the opposition win it, kick it forward, that's their spare. And like you said, they launch and all their scoring comes from their half back line.
The other interesting part about, again, and I'll reference last week's game with Sydney again, is how Sydney played Dustin Martin. So when Dustin Martin was up around the ball, it was Josh Kennedy.
Yeah,
who had the role?
Parker who bashed him.
Yep. So you're responsible for him around contest. When he went forward, it was George Hewitt straight away. So somebody was always with him.
Which you have to do. He's the best player in the competition.
But Port don't do.
It doesn't
Port,
sound like
a Port won't do. Port haven't done that usually.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, they don't worry about.
But do they? So for example, do they use a similar type? Does it like an Ollie Wine say? For
but
example?
He has to. That proved last week against West Coast. He has to be hunting the footy, because in the first half he got six possessions up. Boat got eight.
Yep.
And Port was smashed in the contest. So as soon as you get a negative mindset into Ollie, they're not winning the footy with Power Pepper out of the team. They're not winning in the contest.
Oh, they were cut up with the kick mark game last week as well, Port Adelaide with West Coast, like Sydney were. Both those teams struggle against that system, I think, but they won't be facing either of those systems.
No,
tonight.
That's right.
So I think fascinating.
Port Adelaide were a victim of their first two rounds.
No doubt.
North Melbourne, Essendon, two easy kills.
Yep.
And they were pretty comfortable.
No doubt.
They got ahead of themselves, you think?
It's a soft preparation.
Yeah. I'm hearing.
So you come then against West Coast, bang four goals in the first 10 minutes or whatever. West Coast crowds into it. There was no coming back last week for Port Adelaide. There was no coming back.
Port Adelaide, on the other hand, now we've spoken about Richmond a fair bit. Port Adelaide's strength for me is their smalls. Mm. It's Rosie, Butters, Boak, Motlop, Fantasia, Gray. They've got abundance of them now. I'm probably the best in the competition at that as well. They only had six scoring shots between those six players last week. And Gray kicked three goals. Fantasia kicked two. So the rest just got, I think nobody had a shot on goal other than Motlop, who kicked 1 point. So it's that's the blueprint for me. You got to keep those small brigade, Fantasia, those quicker guys, under wraps. If you can do that, Dixon, yes, he's their goal kicker. And I think Marshall might have kicked four, did he, or something?
Yeah.
He's the other one, but it's the smalls that you got to...
So you mentioned those names, Boomer. Is then Georgiades, Dixon and Marshall sustainable in a forward line?
What do you mean by sustainable?
Well,
too tall.
Yes,
but they do play.
That's West Coast.
A bit shorter than what they.
Yeah, Georgiades is a marking. Sort of
Georgiades is a key position player.
Yeah, but he's good at ground level, yeah.
Key position player every day of the week.
Yeah, but he can play small. He can beat somebody on the ground.
Yeah, no. I agree with you, Boomer.
Yeah,
it's a good game of footy is what we're saying. I think we're looking Georgiades
can do anything.
But I'm to Boomer's point. Those smalls that you're talking about, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Is it two talls and then smalls?
Four smalls. Well, I think that's their advantage, so that's what I'd be doing.
Yeah.
They've got the option of playing them up on the wing as well, a couple of those players.
Righto, who wins, Whitey?
No, I'm with Port Adelaide. I just don't think they're a good matchup for Richmond. I think that they're one team that can expose the Tigers. So, providing the weather is okay, I'm going with Port and with a fair bit of confidence.
Pipes?
Adelaide Oval, I think Port can get it done.
Romanowskis.
Port.
Port for me as well. We're all.
Ooh.
Did we all pick Sydney last night?
Richmond's a certainty then.
I didn't say your tip there, Daniel. I seen the other two.
Well, we said that you can catch it on air. You can get your air check if you like,
okay,
with Brad Johnson.
Okay. I believe you. I'll
just check the website. Let's have a look at one of the other guys. Brisbane and the Bulldogs is a fascinating encounter. Good encounter. The Lions have been thereabouts. They're coming off their top four performance again last year. And the Bulldogs are rampaging at the top of the table. Mars Stadium. So Ballarat. It's a sellout. 135 tomorrow. The Lions have been thereabouts, Boomer. Haven't been able to get the chockies done. They haven't been as slick and as connected as perhaps they have shown in the previous years. And the Bulldogs are rampaging. What do we do about this game?
Well, I seen the Bulldogs last week firsthand. Yeah, that's right. I did see them. I was out there a fair bit to be. If no one knows the rules about the runner, you're allowed out there twice a quarter on your own.
Yep.
And then you're allowed out there for every goal that's kicked. So now, the Kangas only kicked five. And what the Bulldogs kicked, Whitey?
25.
Well, they kicked 10 goals, 7 in the last quarter. I know
that much. So I know I was out there 10 times at least in that last quarter.
28
so.
Might have been for them.
I was out there, 33 times plus a couple, maybe 40 times. That's my record so far.
Do you have a GPS on you?
No, I've got one on my watch, but I didn't wear it last week. I'm going to wear it this week. Opposition doesn't kick another 28 goals. I'll give it a tip. I'll tell you what's going to... The weather could play a huge part. We're down in Ballarat.
Yep.
It's going to be... I don't think it's going to be warm
cold,
in Ballarat. Cold.
Very cold in Ballarat.
And Brisbane are not playing their greatest football I've seen them play. I think they're still going to take a while to get going. So, for me, what I've seen last week, half, I think Bulldogs are a top four team this year. Absolutely no doubt. They're back to 2016 with their hands. And then now they've got some more goal-kicking power. I'm Bulldogs all day.
Cloudy, high chance of showers, 80%, most likely from the late morning with a top of 15 degrees.
Oh, 15.
Tomorrow.
Brisbane, no.
Brisbane have got to stop allowing starts.
Mm.
They're playing this game of catch-up at the moment that obviously expends a lot of energy. Now, last week against Collingwood made some mistakes late. There's no doubt about that. So, but Brisbane, to their credit, they pushed and pushed and pushed, and obviously Zach Bailey kicks the winning goal. I'm worried this week around Brisbane's depth in the midfield, and those, particularly Brisbane's midfield, aren't going super well at the minute, whereas the Dogs' midfield are going super well.
I don't think there's a better midfield in the competition.
Just, they're going super well.
So deep as well. Yep. Like they take off. Who's their starting? Bontepelli,
Bailey Smith,
and Liberatore. They come off, and then you replace it with Dunkley,
McRae,
and Hunter, if he's been playing half forward, because he can't even get a sniff in there.
What about Treloar?
And then you've got Treloar sitting out in the wing every now and then that comes off. They bat really, really deep. I've been really impressed with the Dogs.
My only fear for the Dogs, I've said this for years about them, is there's times where they overpossess the ball. Now, last week against...
Always.
Well, but their hands are
last
elite.
Last week against North Melbourne, obviously last quarter, 10 goals, so they get the reward. But it's proven that Norton's obviously... a really good developing key forward. Josh Bruce can kick goals. They've got players there. Give them more looks. Give them as many looks as you can. Like we see again, McRae has his 30. Dunkley has his 30. Bond has his... It's a lot of possession. I don't know if that style is necessarily sustainable in a final. A lot of possession.
So their knock ram in the last couple of years have been the inside 50s haven't been great. You're saying because they overpossess the ball, that you can turn it over on them.
Between the arcs, they overpossess.
I reckon they've changed. What I've seen the last couple of weeks, I reckon they've changed just slightly. Mm. And when they can go inside 50 now, they take that option rather than giving an extra handball.
See, Rammer, on that point, that's my only concern about the Bulldogs tomorrow is that, in those conditions. Mm. So their first three games were all indoor.
Yep.
So they're going into the elements first up, 35-kilometre-hour winds, a few showers around Ballarat against Brisbane, who played at the down at, what's it called? GMHBA Stadium.
That's where it was.
A couple of weeks ago. Canadian Park Stadium. You know, they played in the wet against Sydney. So their sort of, I guess, preparation for this game is going to be more suited. The issue for Brisbane is it's 3 weeks in a row away.
Well, good news is Lachie Neale's not going to get tagged because there's no mid spots left to tag him.
No.
They're all ball winners themselves, so he probably doesn't get sat on, which is good news for Lachie if his back's okay.
Well, he didn't get sat on last week against the Pies.
No, that's true.
He got a truckload of it in the first half and couldn't find it in the second half.
Who wins, Rammer?
Dogs.
Dogs Pipes? For me as well.
Yeah, I'm Dogs, but not a lot of confidence.
I'm Dogs with a fair degree of confidence. I think they'll do it pretty well. We'll see how it goes. Hey, we need to get to break. 23 past 8. We'll go through the rest of the games after this and the Friday face-off.
As we do, Justin Rose in the clubhouse, 7 under. The amazing thing about the 7 under was he was 2 over through 6 and shot 30 on the back 9.
He's 9 under through the last 11.
It's a big effort. Cool. So the eagle on 8 really sort of got him going. But when so many have absolutely coughed and spluttered, he has been fantastic. Shun Jo Im, he's on life support at the moment. He had a 9.
That's a vomit
on the 15th.
Vomit. A lot of vomit there from Shun Jo. But no, we're talking footy and a little bit of golf there, but some basketball actually coming to Tassie very, very shortly. Very exciting. Epic entertainment coming down to Tassie. It's back in Tassie next Tuesday, April 13, Rammer, 7:30 p.m. in Launceston at the Silver Dome.
The Jack Jumpers are coming early.
No, not the Jack Jumpers, but we're getting a taste down there in Tassie. Non-stop NBL action. The Sky Sport New Zealand Breakers are taking on the current champs and the NBL Cup winners, if you don't mind, the Perth Wildcats. So keep your eye out on Ticketek, all our Tasmanian listeners. Tickets. Great to have your company. Pipes Harvey's here with us, the AFL Games record holder from the Kangaroos.
Boys, at the Silver Dome.
Let's go through the rest of the round.
Rammer, can you please be quiet?
Shut up, Rammer. On the Breakfast Club.
I'm on air, mate.
How many times?
This is rudeness.
When the light goes on, we are on.
Unprofessional.
I'm excited. Boomer gets me excited.
There's 15 on-air signs in this studio.
I'm trying to work out how to get pipes like him.
Well, no, that's not going to happen. That is not going
to
happen.
Should have worn a T-shirt for you boys.
Let's go through the remaining games before we get the Friday face-off for St Kilda and West Coast, Rammer. Marvel Stadium.
West Coast
for me. Gold Coast hosting the Blues at Metricon Stadium tomorrow night. Whitey?
Gold Coast up there.
Yeah, Gold Coast.
Mate, Carlton are feeling it. They will win that game. Don't you worry about that. Collingwood hosting the Giants at the MCG on Sunday, Rammer. Sorry, Saturday night. Tomorrow night.
Collingwood, and they will be my certainty of the week.
Oh, good. Well done. Well played. Boomer?
Forgot about the certainty. Yeah, Pies for me. Absolutely.
Collingwood.
Collingwood for me, and I'm with you, Rammer. I'm with you. Certainty for the week. You got to get your certainties too, by the way. North Melbourne and Adelaide, we know who you're picking, Boomer. Rammer?
Oh, yes.
Crows, please.
This game at Marvel Stadium, by the way.
Adelaide
for me. Melbourne hosting the Cats at the MCG Sunday 3:20. Check your local guides.
Good Whitey. Game.
I was going with Melbourne if it was fine weather, but it's not, so I'm going with Geelong.
Yeah. Petty Dangerfield still out. I'm going to go with Melbourne.
Cats.
Melbourne. For me in that one. And Fremantle hosting the Hawks at Optus Stadium on Sunday, the 4:40 fixture, which is 6:40 our time.
Fremantle.
Remember?
Ooh, is Fife back?
Yes.
Well, yep. They think he is. He's not 100%
confirmed. Freo for me then.
Keen on Freo.
Go the Hawks. That's for me.
Oh, hang on. Where's these?
Where's your certainty?
Sydney, please, for me. Can't have that.
You're an idiot. Good.
Joey, did I text it through last night?
I think I did.
I'm going to go with...
That was very good.
He's put it on the screen too. He's typed it in, Sydney. You're an idiot, Frank.
I'm going to go with the Pies as well.
Righto. Collingwood. That is funny. That is very humorous work from you. Well played. All right, let's get to the Friday face-off.
The Breakfast Club's face-off for Riviera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
Yeah, it certainly is. A great opportunity to win some great prizes being a part of the face-off. Register at the website rsn.net.au. Now, Rammer has told us very, very early, which is most unusual, what the category is, and it is goals for tonight's encounter in Adelaide. Port Adelaide hosting Richmond. So we need to find the leading goal kicker. Boomer, you get first crack at this because you are the worst.
Beautiful. Who am I playing for?
You are playing for Matt Peterson from Frankston.
Okay.
Good luck to you, Matt.
Good luck, Matt from Frankston. I'm going to go with Fantasia.
Horatio!
I think Port might be up on the scoreboard, and Fantasia loves that situation where he can run hard forward and kick a few snaggers.
Righto. Horatio Fantasia for Matt Peterson from Frankston. Good luck to you, Matt. Whitey, you get second crack at it.
Tom Lynch from the Richmond Football Club.
Well, Tom Lynch for Heather Scarlett from Black Rock. She'll be very happy that Tom Lynch is going to kick some snags for the Tigers tonight. Good luck to you, Heather. Well done to you, Whitey. I am playing for Chris Fugill from Delacombe. Chris, good luck to you. We think it's going to be a small person tonight, and we think Robbie Gray is going to have some sort of evening against the Tigers tonight. So we are cheering Robbie Gray home. Chris, good luck to you. And Rammer, the Matt Rowell of the Friday Face-Off, undefeated and all 4 points every single week. Who are you selecting?
Jack.
Jack Revolt. Okay, then you're playing for Brian Coughlin from Newtown. Good luck to you,
Brian. Robbie Gray.
Oh, no, good little mix there, Daniel.
Yeah, it's a good combo.
Both teams are represented. Two talls, two smalls. Come on.
It's a good match committee.
Richmond are not defending small forwards very well
at the
minute.
That's what I thought.
So what'd you go with Jack Revolt for?
Pardon?
What'd you go with Jack Revolt for?
Because then? Robbie Gray and Horatio will take it.
You still got Mop
now, but we're dominate. We're going to dominate. All right, that's good. That's the Friday Face-Off done. Good luck to all our contestants. Register at the website rsn.net.au to be involved in the Friday Face-Off.